following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
840 1360 975 WTAQ News Talk Sports. So this is driving me nuts. As you may be aware, I am in Fargo today, was yesterday. I leave tomorrow. Seth Mila will be doing the show 9 to 11. The boys are on till 9 as I'm flying back, doing some business here, having some meetings with the news talk stations here, some things we're working on. That's, some of you know that that's an off-the-air hat that I wear. And I am I'm in the building that houses the legendary KFGO, the Mighty 790 in Fargo, one of the great heritage AM news talk stations in America, but I'm in the studios of the Fan 740 AM, their sports talk station here. They don't have a local show at this time, so the studio is free. However, because they do have a sports talk show in here, various of them, there are not one, not two, but three televisions in here. Now, the thing, they've got Fox Sports North on one. And then they have ESPN, and I think that's ESPN, too. Two of the ESPN stations on. I have been getting Aaron Rodgers ad nauseum. ESPN is treating this like the Kennedy assassination of sports. I mean, it's, I don't know how many times I look up, and there are pictures of video of Aaron Rodgers either just stock footage of him playing or of the injury on Monday night again and again and again. It's like, I don't want to think about it anymore. I actually, this is how weird this is. I actually had a dream last night that it didn't happen. I never dream about the Packers for the love of Pete. But I actually had a dream that, no, he's fine and he's going to start on Sunday. I don't remember in the dream if they beat the Bears. I'm thinking they would have. If in my dream Aaron Rodgers didn't get hurt, then they defeated the Bears. It would be my guess. Maybe a little bit more on that later in the show. Actually, I do want to ask a question. Jason, I want you to think about this one. Actually, I want wherever you are, not just Jason, wherever you are, I want you to think about this one because I am going to take this up later in the show. Would it be fair to criticize the Packers for not taking seriously enough who backs up Aaron Rodgers? They went with Vince Young until they didn't, and then right before the regular season was to start, they signed Seneca Wallace, whose professional record isn't good. He's called the poor man's Russell Wilson, is short of stature like Wilson, but doesn't have the physical tools. That's the way people are describing him. So did they take too lightly who backs up Aaron Rodgers? Or when you lose Aaron Rodgers, does it really matter? Are you going to find in the NFL a backup that can play well enough where it really makes a difference? Or is it a legitimate criticism? And I do remember mentioning it at the time that it was kind of spooky that right before regular season, they pick up a guy that's going to back up one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback in the NFL. I think it's an interesting question. Do the Packers deserve criticism for not being better prepared? On the other hand, we don't know how well Seneca Wallace is going to play or how long he's going to start. We don't know. More on that later in the show. Talk shows such as this one and news today in general spending a lot of time on yesterday's elections. And we're going to later in the show. And as you might expect, oh, the Tea Party's done it. The Tea Party's messed up Republicans for good. This is great for Democrats. There's no way Terry McAuliffe should have won Virginia's governor's chair, even though the polls tightened dramatically in recent weeks in the wake of the Obamacare debacle. And Chris Christie, well, he's really kind of a Democrat anyway, so it's a big night for all things anti-Tea Party is the way that this is being depicted. I'll get to that later in the show. Here's one, though. And I did talk about this last week, and very, very few people are talking about this. Here is, because it was such a foregone conclusion, very few people are talking about what I'm about to discuss. By the way, I also want to get to some comments by Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt before 9 o'clock, but I want to spend a few minutes on this. This, I think, is interesting, that more people who do what I do aren't making a bigger deal out of this. That is the results of the mayoral election in the city of New York. As I said, here's why most people aren't. Everybody knew Bill de Blasio was going to win, and de Blasio was going to win by a lot. Everybody knew that. Here's what I find fascinating. Over the last 20 years, there are a number of policies, 25 years maybe, the last 25 years, there are a number of policies that are considered conservative or certainly right of center that have made New York City a much, much better city. It's not Nirvana, still has a lot of problems. Probably the biggest improvement was in law enforcement and public safety. I am telling you, you go back to the 1970s, and this is the problem where we don't teach history and we really don't teach civics anymore, and not even really current events in a sense, because you have to be my age or older to remember how close to hell New York City was. And when I say close to hell, I mean close to Detroit. That New York City was on the same path as Detroit. Bankruptcy, rampant crime, just a hellhole. Detroit looks like a post-war zone. Detroit is probably worse than post-war Europe, World War II, because besides being shelled out, it's a nightmare. By the way, they have a new mayor. Good luck. We have someone that we're working with here who lives in Miami. He flew up from Miami. We're talking about that. New York is one of the few American cities that have done this right. De Blasio has made it clear he hates stop and frisk and a number of other policies that liberals hate. And I touched on this before, and this is why I think the New York results are big. You have a city where conservative policies work. That's not to say that all the mayors, you know, since Dinkins were big, hardcore conservatives. Giuliani is an interesting character, but mostly conservative. Here's what happened. And here's why de Blasio won as big as he did. Because the things that people didn't like about Bloomberg, where they wanted a push from Bloomberg, were not the conservative policies. Bloomberg did continue some of the conservative policies, particularly where law enforcement was concerned, and actually improved upon them. But his stupid liberal nanny state mentality, that you can't drink soda and you can't do this and you can't do that, that's what people in large part were railing against. So everybody's looking at New York. The Wall Street Journal has a piece today. New York City takes left turn. Election of Bill de Blasio as mayor could be the test of revival of liberalism in American political life. That's exactly what it's going to be. You have all of these policies that improve New York, and in droves yesterday, whether they realize it or not because of the things they disliked about Bloomberg, which I did as well, the whole nanny state philosophy he has, because of that, and they were railing against that, they also voted against conservative policies which have made their city better. You now have an ultra-liberal in Bill de Blasio who's going to party like it's 1977. He's going to take New York all the way back. Now, the problem, and this is classic, conservative policies work so well, voters come to wonder why they need them. That's what happens. Well, you know, and I told you, we saw this in Wisconsin. Wow, we don't need to build more prisons. We don't need to imprison more people. Crime is down. Why is crime down? Because we built more prisons and we imprisoned more people. We said 17-year-olds are tried as adults. They want to change all of that in Wisconsin. Well, why? We don't need it. Because it worked. And then at that point, what happens is it stops working. But it doesn't stop working right away. Stephen Colbert joked about this. After stop and frisk was struck down, which, by the way, that's been put on hold. The strike down of it has been put on hold. And the judge discredited. But when it was struck down, Stephen Colbert said, I want to warn you, you're going to leave this studio tonight and be killed by roving masses. Okay. See, in some ways, it's unfortunate it doesn't happen that way. No, it does. It's not a flip of the switch. And Colbert and other liberals know that. That's why they can be so smarmy and sarcastic. They know that's not going to happen. They know it takes years and years. And that's what happened in New York. When people who thought they lived in a good or really good part of town were being affected by crime, well, that's that. Everybody out of the pool. Now we got to do something about this. And that's going to take, depending on how much de Blasio is able to turn back here, that's going to take 10 to 15 years. It doesn't just happen. The other liberal policies, higher taxes, and all of the other, just trust me, he is the most liberal thing to hit any major city in a long time. In fact, he's part of the, and I will say it this way, the Wall Street Journal describes him as sympathetic to the Occupy Wall Street movement. I'll say he's part of it. They have elected a radical left-wing liberal. I mean, way, way out there. Which direction do you think he's going to take New York? This is going to be interesting to watch, but it's going to happen in slow motion. That's the problem. But it will happen. And when I say that's the problem, you can't stop it because of that. I'm not saying I want New York City to go to hell in a handbasket overnight, but it would be better if it did, because then you could point to that and say, see, this is what the hell we're talking about. Doesn't happen that way. As for what else happened last night and what it means for the Tea Party, I'll get to that later in the show. I want to just mention briefly here that the U.S. Supreme Court today, hearing arguments out of upstate New York, two women, I believe one Jewish and one atheist, has taken all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court the invocations said at their little upstate New York community's governmental meetings. The issue is public prayer at their local town board meetings, but this, of course, would impact local governments, and many of them do, who give invocations or have an invocation given before meetings. That includes the city of Green Bay. Mayor Jim Schmidt told our Terry Lee, and let me just read from Terry's web story. The U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments today involving Christian invocations given at government meetings. At issue, does a specific religious invocation lead to an endorsement of religion by government? A decision on the constitutionality of the issue won't come till spring. It's probably actually going to be one of the big ones late in the term, I would think. Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt has been giving an invocation at the start of city council meetings for years. And then he quotes Jim, there's someone greater than everyone on the planet, and I think to look for wisdom, guidance, patience, and for understanding of those who are in need is appropriate, Schmidt said. He said he makes sure not to call out a specific religion, but his invocations are Christian in nature when he asks for prayer and for the Heavenly Father to give his blessing. Schmidt says, despite the outcome of the case, and this is interesting, despite the outcome of the case, he will continue to give an invocation. If there's some people who don't like that, I can't really help that, Schmidt said. I think it works. It works for the community, and I hope people respect that. Well, that's an interesting position for Jim to take. I applaud it, by the way. But if it is struck down, if, you know, obviously this one does not directly answer to Green Bay's, but if in a broad ruling, the U.S. Supreme Court says you cannot give invocations or prayers at government meetings, if they rule that entire concept constitutional, which I don't think is going to happen, but if they do, I really don't know how you do continue giving an invocation. I don't know how you go against the law. Well, I mean, unless, of course, you're president of the United States, that's different, of course. Then you can do that anytime you want. We're going to get to that later, too. I do need to make time for everything that is being written by the left that the president didn't lie. I also want to get to a story we didn't get to the other day, and that is the Miami Dolphins bullying story. And the report now by the Orlando Sentinel that, in fact, it may have been, to borrow from the movie A Few Good Men, a code red, that the team actually at some level directed this behavior. Where I want to start, though, after 9 o'clock is a potential environmental battle. As I said, I'm in Fargo, North Dakota doing the show this week. You probably know that Fargo has become the, or not Fargo, but North Dakota, has become the second largest oil producer in America due to fracking after Texas. There was an incident here earlier this year where a pipeline leaked. There is now a proposal for a huge pipeline to get all of this oil that's coming out of North Dakota to other parts of the country. I want to talk about what environmentalists are probably going to try to do to that. We'll do that in the next hour. It's 8:56.
Hi, I'm Sherry. I'm proud to be the third